إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is our 18th session from A'lam al-Sunnah al-Manshura li-i'tiqad al-Ta'ifa al-Najiya al-Mansura ma'al-Hafidh al-Alama Hafidh ibn Ahmed ibn Ali al-Hakami rahimahullah. And our topic that we have been discussing for the last 4 months or so is al-iman bil-qadri khayrihi wa sharri, having faith in the divine pre-decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, its good and its evil. And alhamdulillah, we have covered a lot of topics and yani many important points that the author rahimahullah has given concerning the topic of al-iman bil-qadr. And we have dealt with yani in detail evidences for each of the four levels of al-qadr, that is, believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has absolute and complete knowledge of everything, and that He has it recorded in a lawh al-mahfuz, and that nothing happens except that it is subject to the will of Allah, yani al-irada al-qawniyya, Allah's universal will, to which everything is subject. Whatever He wills will be, and whatever He does not will never happen, cannot happen. Allah has absolute power and control over everything in the heavens and the earth. And whatever He doesn't will, it cannot happen. Whether it's something that is beloved to Him or not, it cannot happen unless He allows it. And finally, we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator. There is no creator besides Him. Yani He is the creator of every creature and the deeds, the actions of the creatures. And finally, yani we have been discussing yani the confusion that in the minds of many of the people, the Muslim, from amongst the Muslim Ummah, those who misunderstood the concept of Al-Qadr. And as a result of that, some of them went to one extreme of denying the Qadr, and some of them went to the other extreme of affirming the Qadr to the extent that they made the human being yani unresponsible for their actions, yani that the human being has no choice, they just do whatever they're compelled to do. And both of these are errors, and they are two extreme positions, and the position of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as we mentioned last week, is in between, the moderate course in between them, affirming that the human being does have actions that they are responsible for and that they're rewarded or punished accordingly, and at the same time, the actions are subject to the will of Allah, and they are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creatures and their actions. Before we go to the final questions, question 154 and 155 tonight, we'd like to look at the question from last week, that is question number 153, and the subdivisions that we have made for this question. So the first part of the question, the original question, 153, do the servants, that is the human beings, have a qudra, power or ability to do what they will? Do they have the power, ability to do what they will? And a mashia, yani a will to choose the actions which are attributed to them. Yani the actions that are attributed to the human being, is it that it is based upon their will and the execution of their will by their power that has been given to them? Is this a fact? Discuss this point briefly. Do the human beings have qudra and mashia for their actions that are attributed to them? Naam. Answer. Anybody wants to answer? Does the human being have qudra and mashia for the actions that are attributed to them? Naam. Yes, yes, they do have qudra. They have ability and they have mashiyah, will, to choose the actions that are attributed to them. Naam. You want to say anything else? And as a result of this, human beings are held accountable in Yawm al-Qiyamah for their deeds. The deeds that they have done, yani by their will, by their choice. That they have done by their choice, and they have executed their will with the power that Allah has given to them. Naam. So they're responsible. Naam. Anybody want to add anything to that, or you have something else you want to say? But our Mashiach and the deeds that we do are subject to the will of Allah. Yani the human beings, will is subject to the will of Allah. Human being's power is subject to Allah's power. The human being doesn't have power over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the human being's actions are created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, this answer is in two parts. We affirm that the human being does, the actions that are attributed to them are their actions based upon their will and their power to execute their will. And at the same time, we also acknowledge that the human being's will and power and actions are subject to Allah's will and power and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first part of this answer is refutation first against the Jabariya, those who say the human being is compelled. We say no, the human being is doing his own actions by his will. And the second part of the answer is refutation against the Qadariya, who say the human being is independent in his actions, not subject to Allah's will, Allah's creation, independent of Allah's will and creation. And we say no, the human being will is subject to the will of Allah and the actions of the creation of Allah. So here in the first part of the answer, the Shaykh has given refutation against both deviations. And the second part, we want to address another aspect of this issue, and that is, if the human being's actions were not really their own actions, if they were not really their own actions attributable to them, would or could they be called to account for these actions and rewarded or punished accordingly? Yani, if the actions were not their own actions that are attributed to them, as the Jabariyyah say they are compelled, they have no choice in the matter. If that was so, then would or could the human beings be called to account for their actions? Could they then be called to account for them and rewarded or punished for actions that they are compelled to do, they have no choice in the matter? And then it says what? Explain with an ayah from the Quran. Explain with an ayah from the Quran. Naam, Ahmed. Huh? Okay, give us the first part of the answer. Help us a little bit.
We'll know this will be unjust.
It will be injustice. It will be dhulm upon Allah. He holds the people responsible for that which they have no control over.
And this is impossible.
Allah is adil, completely just. Naam. Somebody want to help us with the ayah? Naam, Qasim. Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah?
Yeah, 286 ayah.
Naam. Jayid. What is the meaning of this ayah? Somebody help us with the meaning of this ayah. Naam. Huh? Allah doesn't burden a soul beyond its scope. Yani, doesn't make a person responsible for that which is beyond their ability, is above their ability to do. He doesn't make us responsible for something we can't do. And the end of the ayah, the rest of what he said? Anybody know the rest of the ayah? Laha ma kasabat. What is the meaning of it? Naam.
The meaning.
He said the ayah. Laha ma kasabat wa alayha ma kasabat. What is the meaning of it? What is the meaning of it? Somebody help us. Laha, yani, النفس, the nafs. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ. For it is that which it has earned. Ibn Kathir said, earned of what? مِنْ خَيْرٍ, of good. وَعَلَيْهَا, and against it, against the soul, مَا كَسَبَتْ, what it has earned. Ibn Kathir said what? مِنْ شَرٍ, of evil. So the human being, every soul will have that which it has earned of good, and it will have, and against it will be that which it has earned of evil. So human being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah is saying clearly, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah does not hold a person responsible, does not make a takleef on us, make us responsible for something, إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, except that it has the ability to do it. Unless they have the ability to do it. Allah doesn't hold you responsible for something you don't have the ability to do, like the Jabariyyah say. Indeed, you will only be called to account for what you have the ability to do, and then what you have done of good, that will be in your favor, and what you have done of evil will be against you. So a person will be rewarded and will be punished according to their actions that they are capable of fulfilling, yani the responsibilities and duties that they are capable of fulfilling. So this ayah is a clear indication that the human being, that they are responsible with their actions, and they will be rewarded and punished, because those actions are really their actions that they do by their choice and with the ability that Allah has given them to execute their will. Okay, so this ayah is very important ayah, as refutation against the Jabariyyah, the people who say the human being, he has no choice, he's compelled to do whatever he does. After this we said, to further this discussion, the human being's actions are due to the effect of Allah's actions upon them. The human being's actions are due to the effect, the influence of Allah's actions upon them. Yet, Allah's actions are attributed to Him, and the human being's actions are attributed to them. Explain this statement with an example and an ayah from the Quran. An example and an ayah from the Quran. Now, that the human being's actions are due to what? The effect, the influence of Allah's actions upon them. Allah's actions, human being has actions. But the human being's actions are influenced by Allah's actions. So explain this with an example and an ayah from the Quran. The Shaykh, he gave an example, he gave an ayah from the Quran to explain this. Yani he explained that the human being's actions are their own actions that they do themselves, that are befitting of them and that are attributed to them. Because it's based upon what? Their irada, their will, and their qudra, their power to execute their will. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has actions that are His actions that are attributed to Him, that He Himself does, that are befitting of Him. And that's what? They are according to His will. They are attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He actually does them Himself. Allah's actions are independent. The human being's actions are influenced by Allah's actions. So what is the example and the ayah that the Shaykh gave to explain this? That Allah is the fa'il, yani the one who does action independently. And the human being is the munfa'il, the one who does an action, but that action is due to the influence of other than him upon him. But each of them, the actions are attributed to each of them. Now, what is the example the Shaykh gave? He gave the example, first he gave the ayah from the Quran, right? That would maybe clarify the example. He gave the ayah from the Quran, مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي مَنْ يَهْدِ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي. Whoever Allah guides, then he is one who follows the guidance, who is upon guidance. Whoever Allah guides. So al-hidayah, giving the guidance, that's the action of Allah. And al-ihtida, following the guidance, that's the action of the human being. So Allah, He gives the guidance, He guides, and the human being may accept it and follow it. So that's His action, that's His own action. But it's influenced by what? Allah's action. If Allah didn't guide him, how will he follow guidance? Okay? But his following the guidance, that's his action. And the giving of the guidance, that's Allah's action. So the action, the example is what? The action of al-hidayah, giving guidance, and al-ihtida, following guidance. Allah is the one who gives the guidance, human being is the one who follows the guidance. This is proven by what? The ayah in the Quran. And many ayahs like this. May yahdi Allah, well Allah guides. Allah is the one who guides. فَهُوَ الْمُحْتَدِي. He is the one who follows guidance. Okay, so this is important for us to understand that the human being's actions are from the effects of Allah's actions. But nonetheless, the human being, that's his action. If you accept the guidance and you follow it, that's your action. And if you follow, you're giving credit for it. And if you don't follow it, لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ. Yani whatever good you do will be for you, whatever evil you do will be against you. And the final question, mention the names of the two groups that deviated in the matter of Al-Qadr. The names of the two groups. Two, the deviation of each group, and three, its refutation. This answer came from the summary of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, what he said concerning this. He mentioned the two groups that deviated in this issue, and he mentioned what each of their deviation was, and he mentioned the refutation of each of them, with 2 points of refutation on each of them. Okay, so first, for the question, what are the two groups that deviated? Naam. Al-Qadariya wal Jabariya. Taib. What is the deviation of one of them? Naam. One of them said that human beings compelled in action. Which one of them said that? Al-Jabariyyah. That human beings compelled in the action. They have no choice in the matter. Allah compelled them. Naam. The other deviation? Okay, that the human being has complete free will. The human being is independent in their actions, not subject to Allah's will nor Allah's creation. And some of them even went to the extreme saying Allah doesn't even know the actions of a human being until they do it. Now, that was their deviation. The human being is completely independent in their action. They do whatever they will, not subject to Allah's will, not subject to Allah's power, not subject to Allah's creation. The human being is the creator of their own actions. That was the second deviation, the Qadariya. What is the refutation of the Jabariya? The people who say human beings are compelled, they have no choice in what they do. What is the refutation against them? Now, 2 points. One,
The ayah from Surah
Al-Baqarah. Okay. 286. Okay, that's the refutation against them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't hold anybody responsible except for that which they have the ability to do. Now, so that is a proof of what? The people do have ability and they are responsible for their actions. Now, okay. And we can add to that. Now,
I was going to say from the hadith that Allah had made dhulm haram against him, it would be oppression. No people in the hellfire.
Okay, Allah has made dhulm haram upon himself as well as upon the people. Now, so it will be dhulm if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished people for actions that they had no control over. They were compelled to do it, and Allah punished them. So that would be dhulm. So this is a refutation against them clearly, because Allah says what? For them is that which they have done, and against them is that which they have done. Not for something that they, that which they have a choice to do. That Allah doesn't hold anyone responsible except for that which is wus'a, yani what they have the ability to do. So this is a refutation against them. Now, as far as the Qadariya, what is the refutation against them? Those who say a human being is completely independent in their action. It's not subject to Allah's will, nor subject to Allah's creation. Now, okay, meaning?
You cannot will unless Allah wills.
Now, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ, that you, meaning the creatures, you will not have any will, إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ Allah, except that Allah wills, and he's subject to Allah's will. Okay, so that's a proof against them. Now, what else? Now,
هُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي.
هُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِي, meaning?
He's able over
Allah has supreme power and authority and control over His worshippers. He has control over them. They're not independent of Him. What did the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah mention though? What ayah did he mention? He mentioned ayah of proof against them about creation. He mentioned ayahs of creation. More than one ayah he mentioned of creation. In other words, the Qadariya is saying the human being is independent and of their action. They are the creator of their own actions, independent of Allah. So the Shaykh said this contradicts clear ayahs in the Quran.
Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amalun.
That's one of the ayahs that he mentioned, that Allah created you and that which you do. Naam. So Allah is the creator of your actions. Your actions are not independent of Allah's will and Allah's creation. Indirectly perhaps, yeah. But that's not the ayah that the Shaykh mentioned. Naam. Allahu khaliqu kulli shayin. Allah is the creator of everything. And ayahs like this. وَمَا مِنْ خَالِقٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. And so on. These ayahs that show that Allah is the only creator, this is a proof that the human being is not a creator of his own actions. Because whoever says the human being is creator of his own actions, what they have done, they have made that human being, rather all the creatures who are the creators of their own actions, creators along with Allah. Creators along with Allah. Now, which ayah from Surah Al-Rum? Accent. Now, yani Allah is the one who created you, and then He provided for you, and then He causes you to die, and then He brings you to life. Are any of those who you associate as partners with Allah able to do any one of those things? Any of that? Subhanallah. And ayahs like this, okay? So, I mean, like this is the idea. That there are a lot of ayahs that are refutation against. The Shaykh only mentioned two, but the point is that this is the general refutation against these two groups and the deviation that they fell into. And again, as we go into the final questions, And especially the last question goes back to this subject again, taking it from another angle, and hopefully that when we leave here it should be crystal clear. The point is that indeed, people who identify themselves as Muslims, who are reading the Quran that we are reading, those people didn't understand this concept of what we are required as Muslims to believe in, one of the pillars of Iman, Al-Qadr. They didn't understand it. So some of them went this way, and the other ones went that way, and the correct path is the middle course. The middle course, Al-Wasatiyya. So it's important for us to understand this. Too many people have deviated and they have gone astray because of this. This is why the scholars of the Sunnah have emphasized the explanation of these things in some detail. Okay, tonight, inshallah, we're going to take two questions. One of them a little bit brief and the other one a little bit longer. And hopefully, no, for sure, we have to finish both of them. No discussion about that. Taib. So the first question we'll look at tonight is question number 154. Question number 154. And this question, the Shaykh, he says, مَا جَوَابُ مَنْ قَالَ أَلَيْسَ مُمْكِنًا فِي قُدْرَةِ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَجْعَلَ كُلَّ عِبَادِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ مُهْتَدِينَ طَاعِعِينَ مَا مَحَبَّتِهِ ذَلِكَ مِنْهُمْ شَرْعًا. Yani, what is the response? What is the answer for someone who says, is it not possible in the qudra, the power of Allah, that He make all of His servants, mu'mineen, believers, muhtadeen, rightly guided, ta'een, obedient? Is it not possible? Does Allah not have the power to make all of His servants obedient, believing, rightly guided servants? Since He loves that from them, that is, that they believe and obey and yani follow right guidance. Since He loves that from them, shara'an, yani irada, shara'iyya. What He has legislated, He loves that the people follow the guidance, that they believe, that they be obedient. This is what Allah loves. This is His irada, ash-shara'iyya. And mahabba, this is what He loves, according to what He has legislated and required of them in the divine law. So is this not within the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make all the believers rightly guided, obedient, believing servants? بَلَى هُوَ قَادِرٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. Indeed. Naam, indeed. He is able to do that. And the Shaykh mentions two ayats from the Quran concerning this matter. And he goes a little further, but in brief. This is yani Allah being able to do that is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 48th Ayah. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. That if Allah had willed, He could have made you all one ummah. And we saw this ayah before in the discussion about the level of Al-Mashiyah, the will of Allah. And in brief, Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir says concerning this, in brief, because we discussed this ayah previously, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَجَعَلَكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً وَلَكِنْ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ فِي مَا آتَاكُمْ. That if Allah will, He could have made you all one nation, one ummah, one community. But in order to test you in what He has given you, yani what He has given you of the book, yani the revelation, the guidance that He gave to the people, and the legislation that He gave to the people, different prophets, He gave some different legislations. So each people would be tested. And in following what was given to them, what guidance was given to them, what was revealed to their prophet. This was so that it would be a test for the people to see if they will follow that which has been given to them, and they will be rewarded and punished accordingly if they have been obedient or they have been disobedient. But indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able, if He had willed, yani to make all the people one ummah, to make one sharia, and for it never to be abrogated, but to remain permanently until Yawm al-Qiyamah. He was able to do that if He had willed. Second ayah that the Shaykh mentions, the saying of Allah in Surah to Yunus, 10th Surah, 99th ayah. وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. That if your Rabb had willed, لَآمَنَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ كُلُّهُمْ جَمِيعًا. Everyone in the earth, all of them would have believed. If Allah had willed, He could have made everyone a believer. This is a clear answer to the question, right? Allah is able to do that if He wills. And the ayah goes on to say, أَفَأَنْتَ تُكْرِهُ النَّاسَ حَتَّى يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. Yani, will you compel the people? Yani, the Prophet ﷺ, will you compel the people in order to make them believers? If Allah had willed, He could have made everyone believers, if He had willed. And Ibn Kathir says, Ya Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لو شاء ربك, if your Lord had willed, لأذن لأهل الأرض كلهم في الإيمان بما جئتهم به فآمنوا كلهم ولكن له حكمة فيما يفعله تعالى. That if Allah had willed, He would have given permission to all of the people of the earth, all of them, to believe in that which you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, have come to them with. And they would have all believed, if Allah willed. وَلَكِنْ لَهُ حِكْمَةٌ فِي مَا يَفْعَلُهُ تَعَالَى. But Allah has hikmah, wisdom, in what He does. Naam. And Ibn Kathir says, he mentioned a lot of ayats in this tafsir. And we, you know, it's difficult to mention all of them, but in any case, and from amongst the ayats that he mentions, he said, this is like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hud, 11th surah. 118th, 119th ayat, وَلَوْ شَاءَ رَبُّكَ لَجَعْلَ النَّاسَ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. That if your Rabb had willed, He would have made the people one ummah. وَلَا يَزَالُونَ مُخْتَلِفِينَ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ رَبُّكَ. But the people continue to be in disagreement, except the one who Allah has mercy upon. وَلِذَلِكَ خَلَقَهُمْ. And for this reason He has created them. And the end of the ayat, وَتَمَّتْ كَلِمَةُ رَبِّكَ لَأَمْلَأَنَّ جَهَنَّمَ مِنَ الْجِنَّةِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. But Allah's word must be completed, must be fulfilled, the word of your Rabb. And that is, that He will fill the hell with jinn and men, all of them. And the people will be in the hellfire, there's no doubt about it. In other places Allah says, حَقَّ قَوْلُ مِنِّي, that Allah's word is truth, it will be fulfilled, that He will fill the hellfire with jinn and men, all of them. And the Shaykh mentions other ayats. From amongst them, he mentions Surah Ra'ad, 13th Surah, 31st ayat. And the end of the ayat, he says, لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهَدَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. If Allah will, He would have guided the people, all of them. So will you force them, yani, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you force them, yani, until they believe? That is, لَيْسَ ذَلِكَ عَلَيْكَ وَلَا إِلَيْكَ. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, you don't have to force them. This is not, yani, upon you to do so. You're not responsible to, and you don't have the right to do so, to force them. Rather, this is with Allah. يُدِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. He leads astray whoever He wills, and He guides whomever He wills. And then he mentioned other ayats, and I won't read them all because there's a lot of ayats, but he mentioned from Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 272nd ayat. And he mentions from again from Surah Ra'ad, 13th surah, 40th ayat, and Ghashiyah, I don't know what is it, 88, something like that, 21st and 22nd ayat. And then Ibn Kathir says, إِلَى غَيْرِ ذَلِكَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ الدَّالَةِ عَلَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الْفَعَالُ لِمَا يُرِيدُ. And many other ayats like this, which point to the fact that Allah the Most High, He is the one who does whatever He wills. هو الفعال لما يريد. He is the one who does whatever He wills, whatever He intends. He is الهادي من يشاء. He guides whomever He wills. والمضل لمن يشاء. And He leads astray whomever He wills. لعلمه. And this is important. He is the one who guides whomever He wills and leads astray whomever He wills. لِعِلْمِهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ. Based upon what? His perfect knowledge. He knows who is deserving of being guided, who is deserving of going astray. Who will not appreciate the guidance. They won't accept it. They won't follow it. They won't do anything with it. So he, based on his perfect knowledge, وَحِكْمَتِهِ, and his wisdom of putting everything in its proper place, putting the guidance where it will benefit, and putting the misguidance upon those who would not benefit from the guidance, وَعَدْلِهِ, and his justice. And that's very important, his justice. Allah guides whomever He wills based on His knowledge, His wisdom, and His justice. And He leads astray whomever He wills based on His knowledge, His wisdom, and His justice. There's no injustice in it at all. Naam. After this, the Shaykh, rahimahullah, he says, Hafiz al-Hakami, he says, after mentioning these two ayats, that yes, Allah is able to make all of the people, if He willed, into one ummah, make them all believers, make them all obedient, make them all them whatever. He's able to do that. وَلَكِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي فَعَلَهُ بِهِمْ هُوَ مُقْتَضَى حِكْمَتِهِ وَمُوجِبُ رُبُوبِيَّتِهِ وَإِلَهِيَّتِهِ وَأَسْمَائِهِ وَصِفَاتِهِ. However, Allah is able to do that. However, what Allah has done with the servants, with the people, with His creatures, what He has done is that which is necessitated, that which is required, what is in accordance with His hikmah. And His hikmah demands that He guide these people and that He lead these people astray. Based upon hikmah. What is hikmah? I mean, putting everything in its right place. You have to put everything in the place where it belongs. And this is the mujib, yani what is necessitated, demanded by His rububiyyah and His ilahiyyah and His asma and His sifat. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being the Rabb, Allah being the ilah that deserves to be worshipped, and based upon His names, what, yani we understood the demand of what His names. His names are not only names that He's called by, but they represent sifat that He's described with. Based upon His asma and His sifat, and the fact of His rububiyyah and ilahiyyah, yani He acts in accordance with that. In accordance with that, He doesn't go outside of that. So the one, فَقَوْلُ الْقَائِلِ لِمَا كَانَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الطَّاعِ وَالْعَاصِي. So the saying of the person who says, why are there from amongst His servants the one who is obedient and the one who is disobedient? The one who questions, why is there from amongst the ibad of Allah one who is obedient and one who is disobedient? The one who asks this question, كَقَوْلِ مَنْ قَالَ لِمَا كَانَ مِنْ أَسْمَائِهِ الدَّارُ النَّافِعُ الْمُعْتِي الْمَانِعُ الْخَافِضُ الرَّافِعُ الْمُنْعِمُ الْمُنْتَقِمُ وَنَحْوَ ذَلِكَ. Yani the one who asks, why is there amongst the servants of Allah one who is obedient and one is disobedient, is just like the saying of one who says, why is there from the names of Allah, why are there from amongst the names of Allah, the one who causes harm and the one who benefits? The one who causes harm and the one who benefits. He causes harm to some and benefits others. The one who gives, al-mu'ti wal-mani, the one who gives and the one who holds back. He gives to some and holds back from others. He is the one, al-khafid al-rafi, the one who brings down some people and raises up others. And he is the mun'im, al-muntaqim, the one who gives from his bounties and favors, and the one who, yani, retaliates against those who have done wrong, takes revenge. This is, yani, the one who asks, why are there some obedient and one disobedient, is like the one who says, why are there from amongst the names of Allah, this, the one who harms and the one who benefits, the one who gives, the one who withholds, the one who raises up, and the one who brings down, the one who gives from his bounties, the one who takes revenge, or retribution. This is the same. إذ أفعاله تعالى هي مقتضى أسمائه وآثار صفاته. Since His actions, the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are the result of His names. And they are the effects from His sifat, from His characteristics. Yani Allah's names and His characteristics dictate His action. Dictate His action. That He has to give to some and withhold from others. And that He has to raise up some and bring down others. Based on what? Based on His knowledge of who to give and who to withhold from. Based upon wisdom of which one, where to place this and where to place that. Based upon justice. That this is justice. This is not injustice. This is justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessitates that He, yani, give this one and withhold from that one. فَالْإِعْتِرَادِ عليه في أفعاله اعتراض عليه في أسمائه وصفاته بل وعلى إلهيته وربوبيته. So the one who objects to Allah's actions, this is also objection to His names and His sifat. Rather, it is objecting to His ilahiyah and His rububiyyah and His divine right to be worshipped and His right to be singled out alone as the Rabb, the creator, the owner, the one who controls and does whatever He wills with the creation. Yani, objecting to His actions of guiding some and misleading others, benefiting some and harming others, objecting to this is objecting to his asma and his sifat and his rububiyya and uluhiyya. فَسُبْحَانَ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ أَمَّا يَصِفُونَ لَا يُسْأَلُ أَمَّا يَفْأَلُ وَهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ. يعني سبحان الله رب العرش أما يصفون. يعني this is the declaration that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Rabb of the Arsh, the Rabb of the Arsh, that he is free of whatever they described him with. Described him with of falsehood, of having a son, of having a partner, and so on. لا يسألوا أما يفعلوا وهم يسألون. And he is not questioned about what he does, but they will be questioned. Ibn Kathir says, yeah, this is from Surah Al-Anbiya. Surah Al-Anbiya is 21st Surah, 22nd and 23rd Ayat. 22nd and 23rd Ayat. Ibn Kathir says concerning this, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَرْشِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ. يعني Allah is free, the Rabb of the Arsh, from whatever they described him with, يعني whatever they say about him, that he has a son, that he has a partner. سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. يعني he is free of imperfections. He is highly elevated above what they ascribe to him. تَقَدَّسَ وَتَنَزَّى. يعني he is pure and free from whatever they have attributed to him falsely. يعني that which they have invented, he is highly removed and far above such. He is not asked about what he does, but they will be asked. That is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hakim alladhi la mu'aqqiba li hukmihi wa la ya'taridu alayhi ahadun. That he is the hakim, the ruler, yani whose rule is based upon wisdom, perfect wisdom. He is the hakim, that no one can come behind him when he has made a ruling decision. No one can come behind him and challenge it. And no one can object to what he does. Why? لِعَظَمَتِهِ وَجَلَالِهِ وَكِبْرِيَائِهِ وَأُلُوِّهِ وَحِكْمَتِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ وَلُطْفِهِ. And this is what Ibn Kathir is saying, that no one can question him. Why? Because of his glory and his majesty and his greatness and his highness and his wisdom and his justice and his kindness. How can anyone question him? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But they will be questioned. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question his servants about what they have done. They will be questioned for their, yani, they will be called to account for what they say and do. We will be called to account. This is what the Shaykh says concerning this, that indeed Allah is able to do that, but we shouldn't question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his actions, his decisions, because indeed it is based upon perfect knowledge, perfect wisdom, perfect justice, to the end of the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As far as the second question, or the last question, question number 155, and again we will go back to our discussion from last week about Jabariyyah and Qadariyyah. The Shaykh closes with this question, he closed this subject. This is the end of the subject of Qadha, al-Iman bil-Qadha. He says, مَا مَنْزِلَةُ الْإِيمَانِ بِالْقَدْرِ مِنَ الدِّينِ. Yani what is the manzila, the status or the rank or the position or the station of having faith in divine pre-decree in this deen? What is the position, the manzila, what is the status or position of this iman in al-qadr, in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The answer, al-iman bil-qadri nizam al-tawheed. Al-iman bil-qadri is the Nizam al-Tawheed. Having faith in Qadr, this is the system of Tawheed. And the Shaykh is showing here that there are two systems. In this issue of Qadr or Qadha, there are two systems. There's the Nizam al-Tawheed, that is believing in the Qadr, and there's the Nizam al-Shara, yani the Sharia, yani that the human beings have been commanded and prohibited. There are two systems here, and both of them go together. One of these deviant groups rejected the Qadr, that Nizam al-Tawheed, and the other one who rejected the Sharia, the Nizam al-Shara. So both of them have deviated. And the Shaykh is saying here that these two systems are inseparable, mutalazim. They go together. You have to accept both of them. Otherwise, if you accept one, you will go to that deviation. If you accept the other, you will go to this deviation. If you accept both of them, you will be on the Sirat al-Mustaqim. Al-Iman bil-Qadr, Nizam al-Tawheed. It is the system of Tawheed. كما أن الإيمان بالأسباب التي توصل إلى خيره وتحجز عن شره هي نظام الشرع. يعني إيمان القضاء is the نظام of توحيد. يعني the إيمان in Allah having توحيد, especially توحيد الربوبية. نعم. نظام means system. System. It is the نظام of توحيد. Just as having Iman in the asbab, the causes or the reasons which lead to a person achieving the khair of al-qadr, believing in qadr khairi wa sharri. There's a way to achieve the khair and to protect yourself from the shar. And that is the nizam al-shar. Shar, yani the sharia, the nizam al-sharia. So believing in the nizam al-tawheed, yani or believing in the Qadr is the Nizam al-Tawheed. Just as believing in the causes or the reasons, the asbab, which lead a person to achieving the khair of the Qadr and protect a person from the shar, the evil of Qadr, here Nizam al-Shar'i, yani al-Sharia. It is the system of Sharia. So again, there are two systems here, Nizam al-Tawheed, that is believing in Qadr, and Nizam al-Sharia. He said Nizam al-Shar', but just so that the word is clear, we say Sharia. The Shar' means the Sharia. And what is it? It is the causes, the things, that if a person does them, you will achieve the good that Allah has decreed. And if you do them, you will protect yourself from the evil that Allah has decreed. If you obey Allah's commands and avoid His prohibitions, this will enable you to achieve khair in this world and more importantly in the next, and protect you from evil in this world, but more important, in the next. وَلَا يَنْتَظِمْ أَمْرُ الدِّينِ وَيَسْتَقِيمْ إِلَّا لِمَنْ آمَنَ بِالْقَدْرِ وَامْتَثَلَ الشَّرْعِ. And this أَمْرُ الدِّينِ, the affair of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will not be regulated, it will not be organized, it will not be orderly, it will not يستقيم, be upright and straight and correct, except for the one who آمَنَ بِالْقَدْرِ, believes in the qadr, وَامْتَثَلَ الشَّرْعِ. And they have what? Complied with the Sharia. You have to believe in the Qadr, and you have to also comply with the Sharia. Believe in the Qadr, which was rejected by who? By the Qadariya. And you have to comply with the Sharia, which was rejected by the Jabariya, who said that he didn't have any choice. He didn't have any choice in what he does. How can you hold him responsible for obeying commands and avoiding prohibitions when he's compelled? So each one of them have rejected one system, the system of Tawheed, yani Qadr, or the system of the Sharia. And this deen would not be organized, orderly, regulated, upright, straight and correct, except for the one who believes in the Qadr and complies, submits and follows the Sharia. كما قرر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الإيمان بالقدر ثم قال لمن قال له أفلا نتقل على كتابنا وندع العمل. And this is just as the Prophet ﷺ had first confirmed the Iman in Qadr, and then he said to the one who asked him, shall we not just rely upon what has been written, what has already been pre-decreed, and leave off doing deeds? Shall we not just, it's been already pre-decreed, shouldn't we just rely upon that? And just, don't worry about actions. And the Prophet said to him what? After confirming the Qadr, he said, اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له. No, act, do actions, comply with the Sharia. Believe in the Qadr and comply with the Sharia. For everyone, it will be made easy for him. مُيَسَّرٌ لِمَا خُلِقَ لَهُ. What he has been created for will be made easy for him. If it has been written in the divine decree, you're going to be in Jannah, doing the deeds of the people of Jannah, it will be made easy for you. But you have to act. You have to comply with the Sharia. So you have to put the Iman and Qadr along with believing in the asbab that lead to the khair of the qadr, and that protect you from the evil of the qadr. And then the Shaykh, he says, after this, yani opening introduction to the answer, then he talks about each of the two groups, but he doesn't mention their name again. But when we read what he said, it becomes clear that he's talking about قدرية and جبرية, these two groups. He says, فمن نفى القدر زائما منافاته للشرع, يعني the one who negates, denies the قدر. Who is this? قدرية. The one who negates or denies the قدر, claiming that it is incompatible with the Sharia. Claiming that it's incompatible with the Sharia. He denies the Qadr. How can everything be already written? Then that's incompatible with saying you are responsible for what you do. That's their confusion in their mind. That these are somehow contradictory, incompatible. So whoever denies the Qadr, claiming that it's incompatible with compliance with the Sharia, فَقَدْ عَتَّلَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى عَنْ إِلْمِهِ وَقُدْرَتِهِ, then this person has made inoperative the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Qudra. Yani that Allah knows everything that's going to happen before it happens, and therefore He wrote it, and then He willed and created what it would be according to Qadr. This makes this inoperative, that it doesn't work, it's dysfunctional, that Allah knows everything, and that Allah has Qudra to do whatever He wills. The one who denies the Qadr. وَجَعَلَ الْعَبْدِ مُسْتَقِلًّا بِأَفْعَالِهِ خَالِقًا لَهَا, and he has made the servant independent in his actions and the creator of his own actions. The one who denies the Qadr, claiming that it's incompatible with the Sharia, he has made inoperative the knowledge of Allah and the power of Allah, and he has made the human being independent of Allah's power and Allah's knowledge and Allah's will. He has made the human being independent in his actions. He has made him the creator of his own actions. فَأَثْبَتَ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى خَالِقًا, so he has confirmed that there is a creator besides along with Allah. بَلْ أَثْبَتَ أَنَّ جَمِيعَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ خَالِقُونَ, rather he has confirmed that every one of the creatures are themselves creators of their own actions. So what is the result of denying the Qadr? You make Allah's knowledge and power and will and creation inoperative. You make the human being independent, creator of their own actions. You set up a creator along with Allah. Shirk. As far as the second group, وَمَنْ أَثْبَتَهُ مُحْتَجًّا بِهِ عَلَى الشَّرْعِ مُحَارِبًا لَهُ بِهِ نَافِيًا عَنَ الْعَبْدِ قُدْرَتِهِ وَإِخْتِيَارِهِ الَّتِي مَنَحَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِيَّاهَا وَكَلَّفَهُ بِحَسَبِهَا زَائِمًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَلَّفَ عِبَادَهُ مَا لَا يُطَاق كَالتَّكْلِيفِ الْأَعْمَى ينقط المصحف فقد نسب الله تعالى إلى الظلم ومن أثبته محتجا به على الشرع, يعني the one who confirms it, meaning confirms the Qadr, but in the wrong way though. They confirm the Qadr, they say Allah, Allah has pre-decreed everything, نعم, and everything is subject to His will and so on, and His power, and He creates everything. They said, therefore, the human being doesn't have any will or power over his actions. The one who confirms the Qadr, using it as a proof against the Sharia, making war against the Sharia by the Qadr, saying we don't have to comply by the law because we are compelled. We have no choice in the matter. The human being doesn't have choice. This is Jabariyya. And they confirm Qadr to make an argument against the Sharia, saying the human being is compelled, he has no choice, he has no will, he's not responsible then to comply with the Sharia. This one has negated from the human being their qudra and their ikhtiyar, their power to do anything or their choice in the matter. They have negated this from the human being, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given as a gift to the human being and made them responsible as a result of that. Yani because the human being does have a will and a choice and the power to execute their will, based upon that Allah made the human being responsible for certain actions and calls them to account. But these people have negated this from the human being, and they claim then, زَائِمًا أَنَّ اللَّهَ كَلَّفَ عِبَادَهُ مَا لَا يُطَاق, they claim that Allah has made the servants responsible for that which is not possible for them to do. لا يُطَاق, it can't be done, you don't have the ability to do it. They claim that Allah has made the human being responsible for that which can't be done, just as the one who makes a blind man responsible for putting the نُقْطَة on every letter in the Quran, يعني putting a dot under the jim and two dots on the ta, and three dots on the sheen, and so on. Whoever made a blind man responsible to do this, it's not possible, he can't do it. They're saying, this is the same as what Allah has done to the human being, He has made us responsible for something that we don't have the ability to do. فَقَدْ نَسَبَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِلَى الظُّلْمِ, So this person has charged and accused Allah of injustice, oppression, wrong. Naam. This is the result of this person's misunderstanding of the qadha, denying the sharia, making the human being without any will or choice or power to do anything, claiming that Allah held the human being responsible for that which they can't do. Therefore they have attributed injustice to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ إِمَامُهُ فِي ذَلِكَ إِبْلِيسِ لَعْنَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَعْنَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِذْ يَقُولُ فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَعَقْعُدَنَّ لَهُمْ صِرَاطَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. And his imam, the people who this Jabariya people, the imam in this, attributing dhulm to Allah, the imam is Iblis, may Allah's curse be upon him, when he said that due to the fact that you have led me astray, I will wait for them on your straight path. Yani your servants, I will wait for them to mislead them. Because you have what? Led me astray. Yani he chose to go astray. He chose to be rebellious. He chose to resist Allah, and then he blamed it on Allah. And that's what the Jabariya do. They're saying whatever the human being does, don't blame them. Blame Allah for making them responsible for what they don't have the ability to do. These are serious deviations. The Shaykh, he says, in closing, the third group, وَأَمَّا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ حَقًّا. But as for those who believe in truth, yani who are really believers, the real believers, فَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ خَالِقُ ذَلِكَ كُلِّهِ. Then they believe in the qadr, the divine pre-decree, the good of it and the evil of it, and that Allah is the creator of all of that. He's the only creator. He's the creator of all of that, the good and the evil. وَيَنْقَادُونَ لِلشَّرْعِ أَمْرِهِ وَنَهْيِهِ وَيُحَقِّمُونَهُ فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ سِرًّا وَجَهْرًا. And they comply, they yield, they submit to the sharia, Allah, the commands of Allah, what Allah has legislated, His commands and His prohibitions. And if they believe in the qadr, the khayri and the sharrihi, and that Allah is the creator of all of that, and they also comply with the sharia. They take both nizam al-tawheed and nizam al-sharia. And they comply with the sharia's commands and prohibitions, and they make it as a judge or ruler over them in their own selves, secretly and publicly. Meaning they conduct their lives based on the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in private and in public. In private and in public. Naam. Because some people comply with the law in public when other people are watching. But the true believers comply with the law of Allah in public and in private. They make the law of Allah the final decision, the ruler in their lives. And they also say, وَأَنَّ الْهِدَايَةَ وَالْإِضْلَالَ بِيَدِ اللَّهِ يَهْدِ مَنْ يَشَاءَ بِفَضْلِهِ وَيُضِلُّ مَنْ يَشَاءَ بِعَدْلِهِ. And they say that the hidayah, guidance, and idlal, leading astray, all of this is in the hand of Allah. Yani the true believers say that guidance and misleading is in the hands of Allah. He guides whomever He wills by His fadl, by His favor. That's the gift that He gives whoever He wills. And He misleads whoever He wills bi'adlihi, justly, not unjustly. Yani if He guided somebody, that's a favor from Allah. That's not because you are so great, or you are so smart, or you are so good. That's Allah's fadl. But if whoever He leads astray, that's by His adl, justice. وَهُوَ عَالَمُ بِمَوَاقِي فَضْلِهِ وَعَدْلِهِ. And He is the best knower of where to place His favor and His justice. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, 30th Ayat, وَهُوَ عَالَمُ بِمَنْ ضَلَّ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ وَهُوَ عَالَمُ بِمَنْ اِحْتَدَى. That He is the best knower of who goes astray from His path. And He is the best knower of who will follow the guidance. So those who go astray, who choose to go astray, when they turn away, when they deviate, then Allah leads them astray. He knows who is going to accept and who is going to reject. So He gives His favor to whom He wills, and He deals justly with whomever He wills. وَلَهُ فِي ذَلِكَ الْحِكْمَةَ الْبَالِغَةَ وَالْحُجَّةَ الدَّامِغَةَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this, yani guiding whomever He wills and leading astray whomever He wills, this is based upon الْحِكْمَةَ الْبَالِغَةَ. Yani a far-reaching hikmah, beyond what we imagine. Perfect, yani vast, far-reaching, unlimited hikmah. وَالْحُجَّةَ الدَّامِغَةَ. And a proof, yani hujjah, that is, yani fully executed. Yani it is, yani decisive, conclusive. Naam. وَأَنَّ الثَّوَابِ And the true believers, they acknowledge that the hidayah and the guidance is in the hand of Allah. He guides whomever He wills by His fadl, and He leads astray whomever He wills by His justice, and He knows where to place His favor and His justice. And وَأَنَّ الثَّوَابُ الْإِقَابِ مُتَرَتِّبٌ عَلَى الشَّرْعِ فِعْلًا وَتَرْكًا لَا عَلَى الْقَدْرِ And that the reward and the punishment is based upon the Sharia. فِعْلًا وَتَرْكًا That which you do and that which you leave. Yani doing that which Allah has commanded and leaving that which Allah has prohibited. That punishment and reward, or reward and punishment, is based upon the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doing what He has commanded and avoiding what He has prohibited, not upon the qadr. Yani a person will not be punished based upon qadr. Rather, it will be punished based upon they comply with the Sharia, what they have done. They have complied with Allah's commands. Or they have not abandoned that which He has prohibited. Yani reward and punishment is based upon the Sharia. So we believe in the Qadr, naam. But reward and punishment is based upon your actions, compliance or lack of it with the Sharia. And finally, the Shaykh closes. And it's the end of yani everything that we have to say about this. He says, yani this is the true believers. Yani that they confirm the Qadr, khayri wa sharrihi, and they also comply with the Sharia, its commands and prohibitions. And they recognize that guidance and misguidance is in the hand of Allah, and that punishment and reward is based upon a person's actions in compliance or lack of it with the Sharia. وَإِنَّمَا يَعْزُونَ أَنفُسَهَمْ بِالْقَدْرِ عِنْدَ الْمَصَائِبِ And they only find consolation for themselves at the time of calamities with the Qadr. They find consolation for themselves. Yani, they are consoled. At the time of calamities and afflictions befall them, they are consoled by the Qadr. By knowing that nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. Nothing happens except by the decree of Allah. And Allah knows what's best for us. And He wants good for us more than we want for our own selves. So the believer accepts that. So he said, confirming that guidance is, you know, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in contradiction to the Qadariyah, إِذَا وُفِّقُوا لِحَسَنَةٍ عَرَفُوا الْحَقِّ لِأَهْلِهِ فَقَالُوا Yani, if they were given success by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do something good, they recognized the truth to, yani, they ascribe the truth to whom it belongs, لِأَهْلِهِ And they say, yani, meaning that if they were guided to do good, they know it's from Allah, they say, Alhamdulillah, الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ That Alhamdulillah, the praise belongs to Allah who has guided us. If you have done good, you should praise Allah who has guided you to this, to the good that you have done. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ And we would not have been guided. We would not have followed the guidance if it were not for the fact that Allah guided us. We would not have followed the guidance if it were not for the fact that Allah guided us. So if you have followed the guidance, know that your action of ihtida, following the guidance, is based upon what? The effect of Allah's guiding you, al-hidayah. So they recognize that when they do good. Not like those who say, yani like the wicked and corrupt people say, إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُهُ عَلَى عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي That I have been given this based upon knowledge that I have. And it's based upon me. This is what I have done. That's why I have something. And the first ayat is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 43rd ayat. And this second ayat is, in Surah Al-Qasas, which is, I think, 78, Qasas. So, they don't say like these people, that I have been given this based upon my knowledge. That is, yani, if good comes to them, they recognize that if they have followed the guidance, it's because Allah has guided them. So they praise Allah for that, in doing good. And not like these people say, good came to me because of my own self, because of my knowledge. And وَإِذَا اَقْتَرَفُوا سَيِّئَةً قَالُوا كَمَا قَالَ الْأَبْوَانِ And if they fall into some sin, they commit an act of disobedience to Allah, they say, as their parents said, يعني Adam and Hawa, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لَنَكُونَنَا مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ That, O our Rabb, We have wronged our own selves. If they commit a sin, they don't blame it on somebody else. They don't say Allah made us do it. They say what? We have wronged our own selves. We have done dhulm to our own selves. And if you do not forgive us, and if you do not have mercy upon us, then we will be of the losers. We will definitely be of the losers. This is what the people, the true believers say. When they commit a sin, they don't blame it on qadha. Rather they say, we have wronged our own selves. And if Allah doesn't forgive us, and if Allah doesn't have mercy upon us, لَنَكُنَّنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ, we would definitely be of the losers. And this is in Surah Al-A'raf also, 7th Surah, 23rd Ayat. وَلَمْ يَقُولُوا كَقَوْلِ الشَّيْطَانَ الرَّجِيمِ, and they do not say like the saying of the rejected shaitan, the accursed shaitan, رَبِّي بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي, oh my Rabb, since you have misguided me, then I will lay in wait for them, yani your servants. They do not say like this, yani that the sin that I have committed is because Allah misguided me. Rather, I have wronged my own selves. And finally, the Shaykh says, in confirmation of qadha, إِذَا صَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةً, if an affliction or calamity befalls them, قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 156 Ayah, that when a calamity befalls them, they say, verily we belong to Allah, and to Him we will return. Meaning, we belong to Allah, He can do with us whatever He wills. He is the Malik, the owner, the Rabb. So if He makes a calamity befall us, that's His right to do whatever He wills with His slave, with His servant, with His property. وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ, and verily indeed we are going to return to Him. So we're going to be patient with what Allah has decreed for us, accept it, be pleased with His decree, and look forward to the return to Allah for His reward on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. And they do not say like those who disbelieved said, وَقَالُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ إِذَا ضَرَبُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَوْ كَانُوا غُزَّةً لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا مَا مَاتُوا وَمَا قُتِلُوا لِيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ ذَلِكَ حَصْرَةً فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ يُحْيِي وَيُمِيتُ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. In Surah Ali Imran, 3rd Surah, 156 Ayat. Yani they do not say like those who disbelieved say to their brothers when they went out in the earth, or they went out fighting in the way of Allah, that لَوْ كَانُوا عِنْدَنَا, if they had remained behind with us, if they were with us, they would not have died and they would not have been killed. They don't say this, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make that as a cause of regret for them in their hearts. Indeed, Allah is the one who gives life and He is the one who causes death. And Allah is basir, seeing, all seeing of whatever you do. Naam. So the true believers are those who recognize Allah's favor when they do good, and they recognize the wrong to them their own selves when they do wrong. And if a calamity befalls them, they recognize that Allah has the right to do with us whatever He wills. They accept it, they submit to it, they are pleased with Allah's decree, and they hope for their return, in their return to Allah for the reward for patience with calamity. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت استغفرك وأتوب إليك. فيكم بارك الله. Is there any question before we leave? Any question about what we discussed tonight? نعم. Okay, hold it then, inshallah. Any question about tonight, what we discussed? Just hold it, we'll come back to it, inshallah. Anybody didn't sign the attendance? Pastors? نعم.
Is there any people, believe, still around claiming
and are there people around today who claiming, who believe like that? Sure, there are plenty of them. Naam. There are plenty of people who say they're not responsible for what they do. And other people who say that they, the human beings have complete free will. They have complete free will. There are plenty of people. They may not...
Muslims.
Yeah, we're talking about Muslims. We're talking about people who have these deviations in their idea. Meaning, are there people that do not accept the qadr of Allah, that everything is by Allah's decree? Are there people who don't accept that? Sure, there are people who don't accept the qadr of Allah, who don't accept that everything is pre-decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah already knows, and that nothing happens except by His will, and that He's the creator of whatever the people do. There are plenty of people who don't believe that. And there are people who believe the opposite. That Allah doesn't have control over that. People, whatever they do, they're independent in what they do. They're on their own. I do what I want to do. You never heard anybody say that? They do what they want to do. What they're really saying is that they're independent to do whatever they will. According to their power, they have the ability to do what they want to do. Didn't you hear these people? They're saying all kind of things. Just look around. I mean, some of the people near to us, near to us, meaning that we come in contact with, whether in the masjid or in the workplace or in school or whatever. And some of them are Muslims. And they talk like they're independent in their action. They're not subjected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're independent. And some of them act like they're independent of Allah. And they are not responsible to Allah, and they will not be called to account to Allah. And all of this is part of yani misunderstanding in the iman, yani in qadha wal qadha, and also misunderstanding in the aqidah of Islam in general. Because indeed, the qadha is an aspect of tawheed, especially related to rububiyyah, as Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said in the notes that we sent to the class related to the benefits of iman and qadha. And he said that, yani that iman and qadha, it is one of the six pillars of iman. So it's critical for us to understand. And he said that from the benefits of it is that a person will not have complete and perfect iman until they believe in yani the qadha. And that a person will not have complete and perfect iman rububiyyah until they believe in the qadha. And yet we find that many people, they don't, because they don't understand. If there are issues from these issues that we have discussed in the past 4 or 5 months that people don't understand, and certainly there are plenty of Muslims who don't understand these, then they will deviate, going in one direction or the other, or even in a third direction, somewhere in between. That's also deviation. That's not according to the Sunnah. And this is plentiful. There are plenty of Muslims who do not understand this concept, yani this pillar of the pillars of Iman, al-Iman bil-Qadha, khayrihi wa sharri. There are plenty of Muslims who don't understand it, and therefore their thinking and their actions that are based upon their misunderstanding and their false aqidah, yani is other than yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with. Tayyib, inshallah, we stop here. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.